It indeed is an honor to be back here at Powhatan, and I mean that from the heart. When I was studying and preparing for this sermon, you know, I told Ginger I was looking through various scriptures, and I came across the passage in Luke 4 where Jesus went back to his hometown of Nazareth to preach in the synagogue. And he preached from Isaiah, and I was reading, and I was going, well, you know what? That's a lot like what I'm doing. I'm not trying to compare myself to Jesus by any means, but I'm going back to where I was raised. The only problem is, if you read a little further on down in that scripture, when he got through preaching, they tried to kill him. And as far as I know, he wasn't standing between them and lunch, so I moved on to another passage this time. I didn't want that to happen to me. If you got your Bibles this morning, we're going to read from two passages, and they're very familiar. And I promise you I won't keep you too long, but I do want you to stick with me because I believe that we're all here in this place this morning for a purpose. You know, I didn't realize we were having the Spence family reunion here today, but that's all right. It is so good to see so many of my family here, and you all are all my family. I want you to know that. Many of you, we grew up together. And We learned a lot about life together, and we're still learning. But if you got your Bibles, if you turn to John chapter 14, and also to Revelation chapter 21, John chapter 14 and Revelation chapter 21. John chapter 14, first three verses, very familiar passage of Scripture. You probably can recite it without even turning. Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he is letting them know that sooner or later, I'm going to be leaving you. And he's trying to leave and prepare their hearts for when he's gone. And look what he says. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I go and prepare a place for you, and will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." And then over in Revelation chapter 21, in verse 3, it gives us a glimpse into what that place will be like. It says, "And God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Would you bow with me in prayer? Father, this morning I pray, Father, as you have enabled us to be here this morning to worship together, Lord, I pray, first of all, that you would be in this place today, and Father, that you would prepare our hearts for the message that you have for us today. Lord, and help us to be obedient to the moving of the Holy Spirit here in this place this morning. Father, I pray that you would help each one of us examine ourselves and our relationship to you. And Father, make sure that before this day is out, we know that our calling and election is sure. And Father, we know the road that we're on, and we know where we're going. And Father, I pray if there are any here this morning that have not made that commitment to you, or Father, maybe they have somewhere in their past, but that commitment has grown cold. Lord, I pray that this morning that they would make it right. Father, I thank you for this church, what it stands for, all of those patriarchs of this church that have gone on before, and Father, those that they have left behind that are leading a new generation, Lord, we pray that you would just bless each and every one. Father, just touch us all now, Father, as we worship together, is my prayer in Christ's name. Amen. This really is a homecoming for me. When I stand up in this area of the church, it brings back so many memories to me. And you can't help but think about that. I gave my heart to Jesus right on this side of the communion table many years ago, and many of you that are here that I grew up with, that we went to school with, know that I didn't always live that life. But thank God, God has brought us all here this morning, right? But That's a memory I have. I can remember walking down that aisle. I can remember the preacher preaching and me getting out of the pew back there on that side and walking down here and giving my heart to Christ. I can remember being baptized in the Wood Baptistry behind here when I had to stand on a chair so I wouldn't drown. And given my height, I probably still would have to do the same thing. I can remember coming in here on a Friday night and proposing to my wife right here in front of this communion table. The Lord will forgive me, but I had to lie to her to get her to church. But she did come and she did say yes, and we've been married for over 21 years now. I can remember my son, Spencer, being dedicated here. And as Jim said, he's no longer little Spencer. He's 17 years old. And by the way, he's working in Clayton at Venero's Pizza, so when you go by and have some pizza, he may be one to bust your table. And make sure you leave him a tip, because God loves a cheerful giver, okay? And he's 17 years old, and he's getting expensive, so y'all need to help me out. I remember Christmas plays up here. Christmas plays and singings that we've had up here, and so many things come to mind, my wife and I, when we got married up here, and it's just so many things. I stood up in this area over a decade ago and told my church family that I felt led to go into the ministry. And since that time, we've not had a lot of time to come to Powhatan. And that's kind of sad, because you're literally in my back door. But believe me, every time I go by, I look at this church. And every time I go by, I think about this church. I came by yesterday, and they think Joey was out there painting a sign out there. And I saw the people working around here yesterday. And I remember those Saturdays when we used to work around here. I remember that big old pecan tree that used to be in the back, and we were trying to cut limbs out of that pecan tree, and we didn't have a ladder. And Carrie said, "I'll climb it," and up he goes. Just like a cat up the side of the tree. There he goes. No one else could do it, but Carrie could. But since we left here, we've had the pleasure to really serve at two churches. One at Mays Chapel over in Dudley, just until they found a pastor. And then actually the very next Sunday, starting at Oak Grove, where we've been in 2 weeks, will be 10 years. The week after next will be our homecoming, and I've been there for 10 years. And last year, I was invited back to Mays Chapel to run a revival, and those people that were there that really helped me cut my teeth in the ministry and really supported me when I was getting started and sat through sermons where I stumbled all over my tongue and my lips and my feet, they were there. And there were a lot of faces that were still familiar, but just as today, there were a lot of faces that were missing. And there were a lot of people that were no longer there. Things had changed. There were people that when Ginger and I were at Mays Chapel, they had been dating. Now they are married with children. And things change over a course of time. And when we go back and when we get together like a homecoming, it is definitely time for us to look back as we have today. But I believe homecoming is also a time for us to look forward. Homecoming is not just a time for us to look back and dwell on the memories that we've had in the past, but it's to look forward to something. Don't you agree? And this morning, let's just talk about that just for a little bit. A wise man once said, he said, "Those that cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it." And that's almost a little bit negative. Because when I look at the people that were on this screen this morning, it brought back so many memories from the past. Even not just the ones we honored, but Dina, your granddaddy, Mr. Tommy. You know, Mr. Tommy fixed my car the first time it got wrecked, right on Main Street. And I remember, Miss Gayla, I remember one time we used to have a Layman's League breakfast once a month. Some of you that were here, been here a while, remember that. And I went and I asked Mr. Tommy, I said, "Will you come that Saturday morning?" He said, "Well, I don't know. I've got this to do and I got that to do." And he wanted to come, but I think he was making excuses to me, to tell you the truth. But you know what? I remember that Saturday morning because I believe me and Larry were cooking that Saturday morning, and I believe Mr. Tommy was the first one there, and he was the last one to leave. And we had an absolutely wonderful time. All those others, we look back and we have memories of those, and those memories are real, and we should treasure those memories. But folks, as Christians, we're called to remember too. There's a song that says, "Remind me, dear Lord," and it says, "Lord, help me to remember where you brought me from and where I could have been." Folks, there's a lot of us here today, and we know each other, and we're friends and we're family, but there's a lot of us that know each other that if we're honest with ourselves, there's a million and one reasons why we shouldn't be here today. But you know what? There's one reason why we are. There's one reason why we are. I had a man in my church meet me at the back of my car one Sunday. And he said, "Preacher, I almost went up and gave my heart to Christ this morning." He said, "Because of something you said." He said, "You said I didn't have to tell you everything that I had been through in my life." And I said, "No, that's between you and God. I can't do anything about that. I don't need to know what happened before you got here to church this morning. The important thing is, where are you going to go from this point forward?" Folks, listen, we beat ourselves up so many times because of things that are in our past. But my scripture says that when He forgives our sins, it says He remembers them no more. He remembers them no more. Everybody else does. He remembers them no more. But you know what? He put something inside of us called a conscience. And I think it helps us to remember where we could have been. Because maybe that's just the thing that keeps us in that straight and narrow path. Maybe it's us remembering that, you know what? For all of these reasons, I could have blown that stop sign and hit somebody and been killed. For all of these reasons, I could have done this or I could have done that, and it could have turned out bad. But somehow, God had a hedge of protection around me, and He's brought me to this point. And the reality is, folks, we can look back on where, as Christians, where God brought us from, and it should make us thankful. It should make us thankful and appreciative that somebody loved us enough to do something for you and I that we couldn't do ourselves. That man behind my truck told me this that day. He said, "Roger," he said, "I want to give my heart to Christ, but I got some things in my life I got to get straight first." I said, "You never will." I said, "You need to come, as the song says, just as you are. Let Him clean you up." I said, "You can't clean yourself up." Homecoming, folks, it should remind us of where we've been. It should remind us of things that are in our past. But I'll tell you, and this is a big but, it doesn't matter what's happened in our past. If we trust God with our heart, soul, mind, and being, He can change us and will give us a clean slate from this point forward. We don't need to beat ourselves up. But if we do that, that enables us to look forward. About a month ago, our family, we had a vacation planned to the Outer Banks. And I'm going to tell you something. I had been so busy. I had been so stressed. I was counting the hours till I could get in my car and leave. I was looking so forward to it. And we went through all sorts of preparation to get ready for that. We had the mail stopped. We made sure everything that needed to be paid for the next week was paid. We made sure that somebody was going to come by and take care of the dogs. We made sure of this, we made sure of that. And so when time came for us to leave, we were prepared. We were prepared and we were ready to go. But here's the reality. That week went by quick, folks. And all that preparation that led up to that time, in a week, I'm back to the real world and, you know, all that's behind me. We've got season tickets to the Carolina Hurricanes. And I'm looking forward to hockey season starting in a couple of weeks. I cannot wait. And they've been in training camp and they've been getting their final roster, and I'm looking forward to that. But sometime, even if they go to the Stanley Cup Finals like they did in 2006, sometime in late May, June, that's going to be over. All that preparation that team has made for this year is going to be over. In about a week, there's going to be a wedding. Chris and Kristen are going to get married. Congratulations to you. A lot of preparation going into. Only two people I know that dated longer than me and Ginger. I told Kristen this morning, I said, congratulations, sugar. I said, finally. Finally. But I think they're both getting a good partner. But preparation is gone into this wedding. And you know what? Sooner or later, that wedding, that ceremony is going to be over. All that preparation is going to pay off, and that wedding service is going to be over. But isn't it funny that we spend so much time in this life planning for things that have a beginning and a finite end, and our eternal life we spend very little time planning about? We spend very little time planning that. We spend very little time making sure that we're ready for that. And the reality is, folks, that when we got ready to go on vacation, Ginger and Spencer and I knew that on Saturday morning around 10 to 11 o'clock, we're going to leave the house and we're going to hit 64 and head to the Outer Banks. And I knew that was going to happen on Saturday morning. But, folks, we never know when we're going to be called out of this world. We never know when we're going to get the message that it's your time, Roger, to come home. You saw how many were on the screen this morning. Some lived a very long and full life. Some were called home unexpectedly. But the reality is, folks, we've always got to be ready. We've always got to be ready. One day, someday, you and I, if the Lord tarries, will close our eyes in death, and at some homecoming, somebody is going to memorialize us, whether it be at Powhatan or Oak Grove or somewhere else. I want my family to be able to say with all assurances in the world, I know where he's at. And I know he's happy. There is coming a day, folks, for each and every one of us. But we must be ready. We need to be living like we've got 100 years left on this earth, but prepared like we're leaving today. Because we never can be sure. Now, folks, let me ask you, if you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your Savior, if you've never made that commitment to Him, I'm telling you, whether you know it or not, you're planning for your future too. Because my Bible tells me that just as sure as I believe that I'm standing here, that there's a heaven, there's a hell. And we are all going to spend eternity in one or the other. The great minister Charles Spurgeon told his young ministers, he said, when you talk about heaven, let your face light up with a heavenly glory. But when you talk about hell, your everyday face will do. And what he meant by that was when we read the scripture that we read this morning where he says, I go to prepare you a place, a mansion, and I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself that where I am, you may be also. And in Revelation where we're given a glimpse into heaven where there's no more death, there's no more tears, there's no more sorrow, there's no more pain that's going to come our way that has came our way like it has in this life. Folks, I'm telling you, I have been a blessed man in my life. I have not been sick. Not too many of my family has been sick. My parents have gone on and they went through a time of illness, but thank the Lord God let them pass from this side to the other peacefully. But I know I look in this congregation and my family and my friends, there are so many that have been through tragedies in their life that hurt and they cut deeply. And there's no easy thing to say. I wish I could. But what I can tell you is there's coming a time when all that's going to be passed away. There's coming a homecoming one day when we're not going to have to worry about that anymore. We're not going to have just one long, endless day to spend with Jesus. Folks, I'm going to tell you, when he's trying to comfort his disciples with those words by saying, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you, and I'm going to come back and get you. I'm going to come back and get you. It reminded me of when I was a little boy. Once in a while, and y'all knew my mom and my daddy when I was tiny, they usually didn't drop me off somewhere without having a string attached to me. You know what I mean? Normally, one of them was around somewhere. But once in a while, when they would, you know, let me kind of get, you know, spread my wings and get away a little bit, I'll pick you up at this time. And I can remember a couple of times when they were late. And you start wondering, and you start getting scared. People start leaving, and you're there by yourself. It's getting dark. Folks, let me tell you something. When my Lord says, I'm going to come back and get you, I think that's exactly what he means. I think when he says, you can count on the fact, I'm going to come back and get you. He's not going to be late. He ain't going to be early. He's going to be right on time. When his timetable comes and his father looks at him and says, son, go get my children. We better be ready. We better be ready. The Bible gives us a wonderful glimpse into heaven and just how wonderful it's going to be. But it also gives us a glimpse into hell. And just stay with me a few more moments. In the New Testament, we're given a glimpse into hell with the rich man and Lazarus. And this rich man, it wasn't the amount of money he had. I want you to understand this. It wasn't the amount of money that he had that sent him to hell. It was his greed and his pride that sent him to hell. And this was a man that felt like, I can do anything. I got the world by the tail. I got so many crops coming in. My barns aren't big enough. I'll just tear them down and build bigger barns. I can do that. Because I am Mr. Rich. But when he and Lazarus both closed their eyes in death, the scripture said that Lazarus was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom or into heaven. But it says, but in hell, the rich man lifted up his eyes. And there was no peace. There was no comfort. There was nothing but torment, sorrow, eternal separation from God. How much different would that picture have been if that rich man had been ready to go as well? Homecoming is a wonderful, wonderful time. And I'm so thankful for you allowing me and my family to be here with you this morning. But I believe with all my heart that we all need to make sure we're ready and prepared to go. Herman Melville, who wrote Moby Dick, said, life's a voyage that's homeward bound. A lot of truth in that. We're all going to end up somewhere. What home are you bound for today? Are you bound for heaven? Or are you bound for hell? We have a choice. We have a choice right now, today. I don't know what the next year will bring. Who knows? Next year, by this time, I may be in heaven enjoying your homecoming next year with Miss Margaret Lee and Mr. Donnie and Miss Alice and all the rest. Or Jesus may have come back by this time next year. We don't know. The important thing is, folks, we be prepared. There's a lot of preparations going in for the meal that you're getting ready to enjoy in just a few moments. A lot of preparation, a lot of time spent cooking, a lot of time over stoves, and I'm sure it's going to be delicious. But we need to spend that much more time making sure that our heart and our soul is right with our Lord. Looking back is wonderful. But looking back also enables us to look forward. Not just at where we could have been, but where Christ can take us if we'll only give our heart and our lives to Him. Would you bow with me in prayer? Father, we just praise Your name this morning. And Father, I thank You for these people at Powhatan. Lord, You know my heart. And Father, You know that they are a part of my family. And Lord, I thank You for them and their love and their support through the years. And Father, I pray that You would just continue to lift them up and bless this church as Pastor Jim leads them. And Father, I pray now as we have our invitation, Lord, this time of commitment. Father, I pray that if there are any here this morning that don't know You as Savior, or Father, that walk with You has grown cold, Lord, I pray that You would touch that heart in a mighty way. And Father, help them to give their soul to You this morning before it's too late. Lord, have Your way, and we'll give You all praise. In Christ's name, we ask all these things. Amen.